ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਪ੍ਰੇਮਾਨੰਦੇ। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नश्च प्रायशो भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, chapter number 5 entitled The Cause of All Causes, text number 8. Etan me prichatah sarvam,
Etan me prichatah sarvam,
Sarvagya sakaleshvarah,
Sarvagya sakaleshvarah,
Vijanihi yathe vedam, अहं बुद्धेनुशासितः। एतन्मे पृच्छतः सर्वं सर्वज्ञ सकलेश्वर, विजानीहि यथैवेदम्। अहं बुद्धेनुशासितः। एतन्मे पृच्छतः सर्वं सर्वज्ञ सकलेश्वर, विजानीहि यथैवेदम्। अहं बुद्धेनुशासितः। Etat, all those, me, unto me, prichatah, inquisitive, sarvam, all that is inquired.
All that is inquired.
Sarvagya,
Sarvagya,
one who knows everything.
One who knows everything.
Sakala,
Sakala,
overall.
Overall.
Ishvara,
Ishvara,
the controller.
Controller.
Vijanihi,
Vijanihi,
kindly explain.
Kindly explain.
Yatha,
Yatha,
as.
Yes.
Eva,
Eva,
they are. Idam,
Idam,
this.
This.
Aham,
Aham,
myself.
Myself.
Buddhye,
Buddhye,
can understand.
Can understand.
Anushasitaha,
Anushasitaha,
just learning from you. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. My dear father, you know everything and you are the controller of all. Therefore, may all that I have inquired from you be kindly instructed to me so that I may be able to understand it as your student. Translation, please repeat. My dear father,
my dear father,
you know everything,
you know everything,
and you are the controller of all.
And you are the controller of all.
Therefore,
therefore,
may all that I have inquired,
may all that I have inquired
from you,
from you,
be kindly instructed to me,
be kindly instructed to me,
so that I may be able to,
so that I may be able to
understand it as your student. Purport. So, a short purport. The inquiries made by Narad Muni are very important for everyone concerned. And as such, Narada requested Brahmaji to deem them suitable so that all others who may come in the line of disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya may also know them properly without any difficulty. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So with the blessings and permission of all senior Vaishnavas, I would like to attempt to glorify Krishna based on today's verse. So here we see that Narad Muni is speaking to his father and guru Brahmaji. These pure devotees are setting example of how to speak to all levels of people. There are three levels basically. Someone may be equal to you, someone is more elevated than you, and someone is less elevated than you. So in Srimad Bhagavatam we see examples of how to deal with everyone, and there is a proper etiquette how to deal with different type of people. On material grounds we generally don't treat everyone according to their position. So that's why this Bhagavatam is teaching us, and here Narad Muni is saying that, you know, please explain it to me and I want to understand it as a student. So this is very important to understand that we all are students. On spiritual platform we never reach a stage where we can say now I know everything. On material platform, one may say, oh, I know everything about this field. But actually, even on material grounds, if someone is very honest, he can understand that he doesn't know much. One great scientist, I can't remember who, but he said that he was honest and he said, everyone says that I'm a big scientist, but I'm just like on the shore. I haven't even delved into the depths of the ocean. So what to speak of spiritual reality? Spiritual reality is ananta, unlimited. It cannot be described fully and one cannot learn everything fully. So here, although Narad Muni is referring to Lord Brahma as Sarvagya, one who knows everything, he is glorifying him because, of course, he is the first person who has started this parampara. So he knows everything required to deliver a living entity from material world to spiritual world. And that's enough. So all, if we say Guru knows everything, so he knows everything which will help us to go back to Godhead. He may not know all the details of everything. And it is said actually even Krishna doesn't know everything about himself. Because his knowledge and his attributes are expanding constantly. So at one stage when he comes to know about everything, what he does, about his qualities, all the qualities expand. And then his knowledge further expands to reach it's like a constant chase. So we may not know everything, but we, from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand how to deal with all the Vaishnavas. And by that nice dealings, we can get a lot of knowledge about Krishna. If we are not submissive, we cannot have knowledge. So these two go hand in hand. That's why in Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, Tadviddhi Pranipatena, that you submissively inquire. There are two types of inquiries. You can challenge someone or you can submissively inquire. But if you really want to acquire spiritual knowledge, this submissive inquiry is very important. So we generally see that everyone has urge to speak. Nectar of instruction starts with this verse, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. So there are six urges described. The first urge is the urge to speak. Everyone has an urge to speak. If you are living in, if you are have conscious, if you have consciousness, then you know you want to prove it. You speak something so that others get attention. So on material platform, everyone wants to draw other people's attention so that for his selfish motives. So everyone watches me. I'm the most knowledgeable, I'm the most beautiful. You know, all these opulences that we have in very tiny fragments, we try to exhibit as if we have, you know, so much knowledge, so much beauty, so much renunciation, so much wealth. We exhibit it fully. So that's why these social networks are increasing. You want to exhibit. Put it on Facebook, whatever little you have, just put it there, you know. So show whole world. Everyone can share, everyone can see. This Monday I was in bank with Arjun Sakha Prabhu and I finished my task quickly and I was waiting for him. And there was a lady with a child in the perambulator and she was working on doing something on computer, trying to get some information. And the child, small child, could have been like 7-8 months old. So while mother was doing something on the computer, he was trying to get attention. He couldn't speak anything, but he had the urge to speak. So he was trying his best. He was trying to make some sounds. Nothing was happening. He was very comfortably sitting there. He was making sound, something like that. And then Madhu said, yeah, she would, you know, give attention. And then he was looking at me and doing the sound so that I also looked towards him. So everyone has a tendency to speak something. So this is a natural urge. If you are conscious, this is very natural for everyone. But how to properly speak, that requires training. And our acharyas are giving this training to us. So in that verse, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, Srila Prabhupada gives an example of a frog. A frog croaks in the field. And he also has this urge to speak. So he is making his sound. He thinks it's very melodious, but he's making his sound. But who is attracted? It's a snake. Snakes are attracted and they come and eat him. So this is very dangerous. If we speak uselessly, then we attract Maya actually. Maya is in, you can compare Maya to a snake. And then Maya will swallow us. So that's why we are bewildered. We don't know what to do because we are being swallowed by Maya. So I was hearing this, there's a seminar, 3-lecture series by His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj. It's about how to patiently pursuing this goal of controlling the urge to speak. It was based on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's essays called Bhaktya Loka. And these essays are based on these verses of Ishopanishad, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, and others. And the 6 things that you should, you know, reject, and 6 things you should follow to increase your bhakti. So there, Maharaj was mentioning that everyone wants to speak something. So it's very important to understand how to speak. So there are 2 things. What do we speak? We ask questions or we tell something. And usually it is about someone else. So these are the 2 things. So here Narad Muni, we can see he's exhibiting. He's asking in a perfect way, in such a nice etiquette. You can just see what is he saying. Therefore, may all that I have inquired from you be kindly instructed to me. Just see his submissiveness. He's saying, he's himself actually very elevated personality. He can go anywhere in the whole creation. But he's not proud of his qualities and his mystic potencies. He's so humble. So that's why in front of a senior person, we should be very humble. Then we get full mercy. Because whatever skills, whatever talents, or whatever possessions we may have, we can lose them at any moment. So we have to be very humble and understand our tiny position. We don't own anything. Only thing we own is our service to Krishna. So we have to understand that and become a humble servant. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he says that to be humble is so important, and that is like Siddha Pranali, to understand our original Swarupa. He says, what is the mantra by which we can understand what is our original identity? So he refers to the 3rd verse of Shiksha Ashtaka. Trinadapi shunichena tarorapi sa ishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So we have to be very humble. So we can, you know, pose as a humble person, or one, you know, respecting everyone. But the challenging part is manadena, to respect everyone. That's the challenge. Because we are envious of most of the people because they have something which we want. So it's very hard to praise them on a regular basis. And praise them from heart, that is very hard. But if we become humble, then everything is revealed. So further discussing that how this urge to speak is there within everyone, and how to properly speak. So this tendency actually comes from spiritual world. So in spiritual world, everyone is speaking. So in Golok Vrindavan, everyone is speaking about others. So this is a tendency within everyone, to speak about others. So speaking about others, sometimes it's not required. So how to properly speak about others is to glorify their service, to glorify their spiritual qualities. But generally we have a tendency, because we have envy of other devotees or materialists, we speak about others in a bad way, and that affects us very negatively. So we lose our spiritual powers. So we have to learn how to glorify others and how not to speak about others when it's not required. In old days, it was said that sometimes, you know, you want to reveal your mind, you know, want to say about someone or something. So they used to, and if they wouldn't find anyone, they would go to the well and speak into the well, so that now I'm relieved, I've just spoken it somewhere, you know. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that if intelligently you have to identify that, what are you about to speak? Is it beneficial or is it required? And if you identify it as not required, and if it is something very bad about someone else, and you are speaking to someone to whom it may not matter, he may not be able to correct someone else. So he says, better not speak, better keep quiet. So you'll save a lot of trouble. So that's what's the recommendation of senior acharyas is. So this urge to speak in is, as we were discussing in spiritual world, how it originates is everyone is speaking about others. So everyone is speaking about Krishna there. So they are attracted to Krishna and they are speaking about Krishna. And sometimes they are not speaking about Krishna, but those talks are somehow related to Krishna. In 10th canto, we see the gopis are talking about the flute in a very envious way. But because it's related to Krishna, it's totally on the transcendental platform. That envy has no material tinge. So these women of Mathura, they are speaking about gopis, and you know, cowherd boys are speaking about Krishna, and the elder cowherd men also, they are speaking about so many things related to their village, Golok Vrindavan. So all of them have this urge to speak, but they are speaking everything that is related to Krishna. So if we dovetail our speaking propensity towards Krishna, then our speech will be perfect. So this is one type of austerity. It is in Bhagavad Gita, it's described, austerity is of three types: of austerity of body, austerity of mind, and austerity of speech. So if you want to speak about someone when it's not required, and to control it, it's an austerity. So we have to do it. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna recommends, what is austerity of speech? Anudveg karam vakyam satyam priya hitam cha yat swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vang mayan tapa uchyate. So what sort of speech we should have? Anudveg karam, which should be beneficial for others. So we have to be selfless, and we have to think of others' benefit. Satyam, it should be truthful. We should speak truth as far as possible. In material world, it's very hard. In business dealings, at work, it's very hard to speak truth all the time. But as far as possible, we should speak truth. And amongst devotees, of course, we should always speak truth. We should not hide something or tell lies so that there's harm caused to other devotees. We should be truthful to our authorities. Like that. So we have to be very truthful to our guru, to other devotees. So as one time also we were discussing, in Kali Yuga, in previous days, the words were like the line on the stone. If you put a line on the stone, it stays there. But in these days, words are, your promises and words are like line on the water. As soon as you make it, it disappears. So people are not truthful, they don't keep their promises. So this is austerity of speech, to speak the truth. So one has to be very skillful. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam. So priya means very pleasing. Our words should be pleasing to others. You can say the same thing in different tones. You know, Prabhu, record the class. Prabhu, record the class. Prabhu, can you please record the class? You know, so like that. There's different tones. So it should be very pleasing to others. And that has it, everything, you know, what goes around comes around. So if we speak pleasingly to others, then others would be respectful to us also. So satyam priya hitam cha. So hitam means to beneficial to others. And then another very important part of austerity of speech is swadhyaya vyasanam. So it says, Prabhupada mentions in translation, it says, regularly reciting Vedic literature. That's also austerity of speech. So when we recite these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or we discuss anything related to Krishna, this Krishna Katha, so this is austerity of speech. So generally we don't want to talk about Krishna. We can talk about anything else, you know, for hours. But to talk about Krishna is very austere. Wherever we go, we can see people are talking and talking, but it has no meaning. So if we intelligently understand, it may be hard to, you know, just discuss about Krishna. Sometimes we are with devotees and we feel there is nothing common between us, you know. This person comes from different background and I am from a different background. So what should I discuss with this person? So we sit and we are silent. You know, both the devotees are silent. But if we speak about Krishna, it may be austere, it may sound austere in the beginning, but that is the real connection between all of us. So that's why we assemble here in Bhagavatam class and we discuss about Krishna. So this is an austerity. So it is said, austerity done to connect yourself to Krishna is good. There are different types of austerities. Some people, you know, everyone is doing some austerity. People wake up early, go to work, you know, to raise children is a very austere thing. They are doing so many austerities in life. But we have to ask the question, is it, will this austerity connect us to Krishna? If not, it's not good. Our austerity should connect us to Krishna. So that is a good austerity. So another austere thing, so that's austerity of speech. So we have to speak about Krishna. We speak about Krishna to devotees and we speak about Krishna to non-devotees. We try to find those innocent people who don't know about Krishna as yet and we inform them about Krishna. So this is preaching. So when we preach, it is nothing but sankirtan. That's why we call it sankirtan. You're chanting about Krishna. You're speaking about Krishna. So that's also very austere for devotees. When we see these degraded people, and most of the times if you are doing book distribution or in your cultivation, preaching efforts, you see we are putting so much effort, we are trying to speak about Krishna, connect others to Krishna, but they are not taking it very seriously. So that's very austere actually. And it demotivates so many devotees. But actually speaking about Krishna never goes waste. Whenever we try to speak about Krishna, it has full effect. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. You know, there is no diminution or loss in this endeavor. If we just speak about Krishna, try to glorify Krishna, there is no loss. Someone may not connect to Krishna, but he has become more fortunate now. Each time a person meets a devotee, that person becomes more fortunate. So there is no loss actually. So we see that all these people are there and we want to preach to them. ISKCON is a preaching organization and this Sankirtan movement is preaching movement. So we must preach to others. We must help others to connect to Krishna. But we see all these people are envious. There is one prayer by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. He says, Swastyastu Vishvasya Khala Prasidatam. So he refers, he is praying that all the envious people of the world may be pleased and may, worship Krishna. So there he uses the word Khala. So in the word-to-word meanings, Prabhupada writes, Khala means an envious person. And then in the bracket he writes, almost everyone. So this Niranjan Maharaj was discussing in his lecture, which I heard. So almost everyone is envious. And now we want to help them to connect to Krishna and they will try to reject us. So this is very austere and it requires a lot of determination, faith and compassion. So this khala, the word khala, envious person, it's also described by Chanakya Pandit. So he says, Mantra Oshadi Vashah Sarpa Khala Kena Nivaryate. So he says there are two types of khala. A snake is also called khala and an envious person is also called khala. So Chanakya Pandit says, actually you can control a snake by mantra and some herbs. If you chant some specific mantra and you, by some herbs, you can control a snake. But it's very hard to pacify an envious person. So an envious person is more dangerous than a snake. You can embrace a snake, but not an envious person. So this is given. So how can we continue this preaching then? How will we distribute books in this marathon, which is starting on Monday, that we go out and so many envious people are there? More dangerous than snakes. So how we distribute books to, a person more dangerous than a snake. So that's a very tricky thing. So if we see there are two extremes, we can just logically try to understand. So one extreme is many devotees, they say, oh yes, we want to preach, we want to help others. And they neglect their personal purification. So they just go out, preach. And then what happens is they reduce their own standard because they neglect their own purification and sadhana. So eventually what happens is they think, oh, we want to preach to them, so we have to go to their level to preach to them. So they go to their level and then they stay there. So that's one extreme. Other extreme is we think, oh, these are all envious people, worse than snakes. So better just think about my own purification. Just do bhajan. And then we become bhajnanandis. So Prabhupada says, if one is not continuously speaking to new people, then it's very hard to control the waves of maya. So actually, if we just do bhajan, then also we will be in maya. So this is another extreme. So some of the envious, even god brothers of Srila Prabhupada, one time one person he said about Prabhupada that in a very sarcastic way that when Prabhupada went to the West, he was preaching to so many hippies and Westerners and, his preaching had effect and so much result was coming. So one person he said that, oh, maybe Swamiji, your Swamiji is preaching there. But we particularly don't have this taste to associate with these degraded people. So what he was saying is Prabhupada is associating with these degraded people and he will get affected. But Prabhupada was pure devotee. He was giving his association to these people. So that is preaching. And he was totally pure and he was maintaining that standard of purity. Every morning he would wake up, translate scriptures and then give lectures, open temples. So that's another extreme. If you are in your own bhajan, you don't want to see any envious person. You don't want your shadow to be touched by anyone else. then you have to take bath. So that's another extreme. So we have to maintain a balance between both of these. We have to work on our personal purification by regular sadhana. So many angas of bhakti are there and we follow in our daily life. So that will purify us And purity is the force. With that purity, simultaneously, if we go out and preach to these envious people, they will be pacified and they will be attracted to Krishna. So we have to balance. It's like a tightrope walker, you know, he's walking with a stick. So he can't go too much this way or he can't go the other way too much. He has to just maintain the balance. So same way we have to maintain this balance between our preaching and personal purification. So further, it's described in that essay by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Niranjan Maharaj was explaining that the patience is required. Dhairya. Utsaha nishchaya dhairya. So a lot of patience is required. And the first verse of Nectar of Instruction, it ends like this, you know, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodh Vegam, Jivva Vegam, Udropasta Vegam, Etan Vegan, Yo Vishaheta Dira, Sarvam Apimam, Prithvim Shashishya. So Etan Vegam, Yo Vishaheta Dira. So one who is Dira or a sober person. So that word comes from Dhairya. Dhairya means patience. So this verse gives the symptoms of patience, how to develop patience. So we have to control these urges. And most, it is said, most voracious sense is the tongue, the sense of taste. With tongue we do two activities, we taste and we speak. So we have to control both. If we see, generally when we discuss about tongue, that it's so voracious, we think in terms of eating. So we have to control our eating. But another important aspect is our tendency to speak, this urge. From the tongue we speak so many things. So we have to control that. So our acharyas have given us this system and we just have to follow it. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is described, there are devotees on different levels. So sadhakas are there and then siddha devotees. So practitioners and the perfected devotees. So we are in the category of sadhakas. And we are aspiring to become siddha or perfect our sadhana and understand our spiritual position. So that requires patience, lot of patience and application of these principles. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described, in 10th canto it's discussed that these devotees on different platforms, it is discussed about Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi Devi and Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. So this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, it discusses that how Yashoda is on a very high platform. There is no comparison. So we follow in the footsteps, we try to follow in the footsteps of Brajavasis. Then we can attain that platform. So in scriptures, whenever something is mentioned, it's a law actually. These are law books. And sometimes things are mentioned three times. So it means a lot of emphasis is there that you must do it. As we know the famous verse which Mahaprabhu used to say, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatir Anyata. So three times it is said, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, and then Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. So in the similar fashion, it is described in 10th canto, in this one verse, there's three times, na, 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 it's described, na lebire, na lebire, na lebire. So there, it's three times it's described because it's pointing, it's a comparative study. It's pointing towards these three devotees, Brahma, Shiva and Lakshmi. So lebire means obtained. So there, Shukdev Goswami is mentioning that the good fortune that Mother Yashoda has obtained, it is not obtained by Brahma, not obtained by Shiva, and not obtained by Lakshmi. Brahma ji has, he's a very nice devotee, but he has other tasks, which he's doing for Krishna, obviously. But, you know, he has these other desires he wants to create, And Lord Shiva is called Vaishnava Nam Yatha Shambhu. He is also a pure Vaishnava. But he also has other duties as destruction of world. He associates with ghosts, goblins to deliver them and connect them to Krishna eventually. And Mother Lakshmi is always at the lotus feet of Krishna, Vishnu, and massaging the lotus feet. But it is said sometimes Lakshmi has to also go to attend to the worshippers. Some people are worshipping Lakshmi to get wealth, and sometimes she has to just attend to answer their calls. And in another, I think third canto is described that that's why the position of Tulsi Maharani is greater, because she never leaves the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna. She's always there. So these three levels of devotees are described, and then it is described about Mother Yashoda, that what's her position. She's always Krishna conscious in a favorable way. She's always thinking about Krishna, how to maintain him. You know, he's my son, how to maintain him and how to take care of him, how to feed him. She's always thinking about that. And the special word mentioned there in that verse is Vimukti Dat. So I'll just read a short two lines from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says, the word Vimukti Dat is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Sarshti, and Samipya. But Vimukti means special mukti. When after liberation one is situated on the platform of Prema Bhakti, one is said to have achieved Vimukti, special mukti. So that's why in this verse, three times it is said, Naimam Virancho, Na Bhavo, Na Shrir. So not Brahma, not Shiva, not Lakshmi. They may be liberated. They have Mukti, they are Mukta. But who has Vimukti? The special liberation, that is Brajavasis, especially mentioned here is Mother Yashoda. So we saw this beautiful, we heard about this beautiful pastime of the month of Damodar, that how by bhakti, by special prema bhakti of Mother Yashoda, she could bind Krishna. Actually, Krishna was not bound with the rope. He was bound by the love. By bhakti, bhakti baddham. So all these austerities and penances and that we do in our sadhana bhakti is aimed towards that perfection, so that one day we can achieve this unmotivated, uninterrupted love for Krishna. So when we reach that platform, then the material platform, it's like a dream. At one place Prabhupada was saying, actually in one of his letters, he was saying, if you're constantly engaged in service, that letter was actually specially some disciple asked a question regarding his attraction to opposite gender, and then Prabhupada wrote that if you are fully engaged in service, then this opposite gender, this Maya, it's just like a dream. It's like a myth, he said. It's like a myth. It becomes like a myth. Maybe it exists or doesn't exist because you are busy in the service. So it's like that. So just concluding what we discussed is we try to control our urge to speak by speaking about Krishna and glorifying devotees in a proper way, not just in a, sometimes we glorify, oh Prabhu, you are maybe the next incarnation, in a proper way, it has to have a purpose. I was discussing with Arjun Sakha Prabhu, one time I tried to glorify my spiritual master and he immediately said, I said something that, oh, I wanted to thank you, and he said, why? Because he wanted to know if it's just like a, vague glorification. And luckily I had a reason, so I said, I gave that reason because this, and so then he was satisfied. So we should have a reason to glorify someone, and then it's effective. It comes from heart, not just like, you know, it also becomes prajalpa sometimes. The glorification also becomes prajalpa, a waste of time. So we try to control our urge to speak, and it may be austere, but if we do that, we will develop all good qualities. We'll have patience, we'll have faith and compassion for beginners who can very quickly connect to Krishna. And we have to follow in this on this path which is traversed by all these acharyas, and then we can please Krishna. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, sure, very nicely pointed out that it's an austerity. We practice, we read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we want to, you know, present it to others, but sometimes it's not easy, especially towards the Western audience. So I was hearing lecture of His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj. He was saying that even Prabhupada did that. In the beginning days, he used to run the loft. One of the artists who became crazy later on. He used to live there and invite people. And when people would come, he would do small talk. He would just ask, oh, how are you? What's going on? He would not speak about Krishna many times. He would just, so that he makes friends with them. So that's very important, as you said, to have this intention so that ultimately we can talk about Krishna to them. But first we have to bring them to that level, especially Western audience. It is said the Westerners are too far away from Krishna, so we have to bring them closer to Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, sorry.
I actually object to that because it's not only the Westerners. I find that they can't deal with the community.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. No, that's good. You're right in a way. So what one time Burijan Prabhu, he was saying, you know, that the Westerners are too far away from Krishna and you have to bring them close to Krishna. And Indians are too close to Krishna, but they are, you know, turned away from Krishna. So you have to just, you know, rotate them, revolve them, you know. So, but these days in the modern so-called society, in India also now people are becoming very far away from Krishna. The youngsters are very, very far away from Krishna. So you are right. So Indians, it get very complicated these days. So they are far and twisted and you have to do a lot of work. Prabhu, Prabhu had something. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, you were just pointing out. Yes, Prabhu, Ivan Prabhu. It's described in 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The verse about austerity of speech is verse number 15. And 14th is, I think, about the body. And 16th is about austerity of mind. So they are all connected because we have one body, you know. So it's all connected. But it specifically mentions austerities of each of those things. So ultimately they are connected in a way, but there is distinction also. So regarding mind, it is said, you know, simplicity and mauna, you know, your sometimes silence, So all these things are, you can read in Bhagavad Gita for details. It's mentioned there. But you're right that they are connected ultimately. If something comes in mind, you want to speak it, you know, so it's connected. So you have to control the mind. If mind is controlled, then tongue will be controlled also. So it's connected in a way. But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions specifically in detail. So, any other question or comment? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Chimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.